Om Shanti. 14th March 2019, Thursday. The blessing from Sakar Murli. May you be a Karma Yogi who always performs elevated actions by being seated on your immortal throne and the heart throne. May you be a Karma Yogi who always performs elevated actions by being seated on your immortal throne and the heart throne. At this time, all of you children receive two thrones. One is Akal Takht, that is the immortal throne, and the second is the Dil Takht, that is the heart throne. An immortal throne and the heart throne. So these are the two thrones that you receive at this time. All of you children receive two thrones. One is of immortal throne and the other is the heart throne. However, only those whose kingdom it is can sit on the throne. Since you are each seated on an immortal throne, you have a right to self-sovereignty. Then, because you are seated on the Father's heart throne, you have a right to the Father's inheritance. Since you are on immortal throne, you have a right to Swarajya Adhikar, that is self-sovereignty. And since you are seated on Father's heart throne, you have right to inheritance, in which all the fortune of the kingdom is included. A Karma Yogi means one who is seated on both thrones. Every action of a soul seated on such thrones is elevated because all the physical organs and senses function under law and order. So Baba is defining Karma Yogi life. Karma Yogi means one who is seated on two heart thrones. And every action of such soul is elevated because the physical organs and senses are under control. So there are two things. First is immortal throne and second is Baba's heart throne. To be seated on immortal throne means to be soul conscious. As simple as that. And to be seated on Father's heart throne means we are dear to Him. So these are two simple questions. How to be more and more soul conscious and how to remain, how to become dearer to the Father. First we'll take this one. Baba is saying to remain seated on the on an immortal throne. That is to remain soul conscious most of the time. To remain soul conscious as much as possible, we need to understand what body consciousness does to us before we understand to become soul conscious. Once the body consciousness comes, what all things happen to mind, intellect, or sanskar? It's a very important thing. Body consciousness does something through these three things. The moment soul conscious, body consciousness come, what happens to mind? Yeah? Mind becomes restless. Mind becomes hazy. Mind is no more. Mind does not have that clarity anymore. Because when we are soul conscious, automatically we find that our mind is very clear, very calm, very quiet, and It's in the remembrance of Father automatically. But when we are body conscious, mind is restless. Mind is wandering here and there. Mind is creating new desires, running here and there, trying to seek and trying to become extrovert. A body conscious mind is an extrovert mind, talkative mind, seeking pleasure in senses. What happens to intellect? Yesterday we saw the different functions of intellect, the 7 functions of intellect. First, judgment. So judgment is hampered. If some people come and ask you for passing a judgment, you can't pass any judgment. Second, understanding becomes poor. You read Murli, but you find that you are not understanding anything. Even the words you are reading, but the gist is missing. Then discriminate. Power to discriminate is lost. You can't discriminate what is truth and what is untruth, what is right and what is wrong, what is righteous, what is unrighteous, which way to go, which way not to go, to be or not to be. That sort of situation arises. And then decide. Power to decide suffers. You can't decide. If there are 2 choices, you are always in eternal confusion, which one to take out of the 2. Whether to stay here, whether to stay there, whether to give up this job or whether to take up another job. Or should I continue in the similar manner what I am doing now? Or there's need of change. So many things like that. So, and then imbibe. You can't imbibe. You can't understand, you can't imbibe. That's the function of intellect. So when one is body conscious, this imbibition of knowledge becomes difficult. And then rationalize. Very difficult to rationalize. And then memorize. Memory is a function of intellect. So these are the 7 functions of intellect. And when one is body conscious, all the 7 functions of intellect suffer. The ability to judge, to understand, to discriminate, to decide, to imbibe, to memorize, to rationalize. All the 7 things suffer. And these 7 are very important functions of intellect, and they are very necessary, needed in, very much needed in day-to-day activities. What about sanskar? When we are body conscious, what happens to sanskar? Devilish sanskars or some new sanskars are getting created. When you are body conscious, so sanskars of body consciousness are reinforced. More and more sanskars are created. So that when you are soul conscious also, that time also body conscious can come. Because that's sitting behind. Very strong. So, body consciousness affects everything. The mind. And when I say body consciousness, think of vices. When I say body consciousness, it is the lust. What it does to mind, what it does to intellect, and what it does to sanskar. And when I say body consciousness, it means anger. When one is angry, what happens to mind? Is calm? Quiet? No. Angry. What happens to intellect? Can you take proper decision in anger? You always repent. That's why when you are in anger, don't take any decision. Let the anger settle. Otherwise you will have to repent. Or go away from that place for some time. That George Gurdjieff, his father, when he was 9 years old, his father was about to die, and he called him, come here. And he told him that I have nothing to give you, no property I am leaving for you, just one advice. Whenever you are in anger, don't take any decision. Just postpone it. Just follow only one principle in life. And each one of us has seen that. Whenever we have taken any decision in anger, we had to repent it. We repent later on. So at least when you are in that situation, take some time, ask for some time, that I'll come tomorrow. For example, somebody comes and insults you. Now you also want to do something, something at least to that person, to say something. But what you should say, I'll come tomorrow. After a lot of churning, one Amrit Vela should go. Let one Amrit Vela pass, then I'll come back to you. I can't give any decision now. I know what you're doing is wrong, but I can't give any decision now. Let one Amrit Vela. You know, for a very good decision, one Amrit Vela is needed. Very powerful Amrit Vela. So, and then about attachment. What attachment does to the mind? Mind is calm when one is attached. Mind is constantly thinking of that person. Intellect doesn't feel much interested in all those things. And sanskar of attachment is fortified. Is made stronger and stronger. Solidification of sanskar, it becomes very strong inside. So, and then greed. What greed does to mind? One is greedy. So what it does? One is constantly thinking how to achieve that thing. Just imagine, there is a thin wall and there is a treasure here. Okay? And one thief is sitting here and he knows that there is a treasure on the other side. Can he rest in peace? He is sitting here and there is a thin wall. It's a night time and there is a lot of treasure on this side. And nobody is at home on this side. And thief is on the other side. Can he sleep? He cannot. He will be thinking of it. So mind remains restless. All the vices cause restlessness of mind. Other way around, when mind is restless, it means there is a hidden vice. We have to accept that. I am feeling sudden loneliness, sudden restlessness, sudden unhappiness. Don't feel like to do anything, or the happiness is lost. Probably there is some vice, because that's the nature of vice. That vice affects all the three, mind, intellect and sanskar. Mind, it becomes restless, restive. Intellect becomes dull and sanskars of body consciousness are emboldened. They become more strong. So all these things this vice does. So karma yogi is one who is sitting on the immortal throne, means who is soul conscious. So we are discussing what body consciousness does to these three things. Now, what soul consciousness does to these three things? Mind, intellect and sanskar. Now one is soul conscious. What happens to the mind? Mind becomes calm. Mind becomes powerful. What happens to the mind? It is concentrated. You can concentrate on anything. See, our knowledge is not about how much one remembers and how one doesn't. It's all about concentration. Two students are there and they have a paper to give. One person is highly concentrated. He has got 1 hour. Other is distracted, not concentrated. He also has 1 hour. So a distracted mind cannot glean the information as much as a concentrated mind can gather. So it's about the concentration power. So mind becomes concentrated, mind becomes calm, mind becomes clear, mind is not confused, there is a clarity of mind, mind can do good imagination. Then what else? Sit in the soul conscious state and see what happens to these three things, as if these are there outside. What else to mind? Mind becomes creative. You think of new things. Otherwise, newness doesn't come. Wherever you are seeing newness, remember that there is some amount of soul consciousness there. For example, some poets, they have no knowledge of spirituality. They are not religious. But they are so creative, because in those moments of creativity, they become soul conscious, even though they have no knowledge of soul. And doesn't mean that even if I don't know I am soul, but I am still a soul, even though I am not a spiritual person. Michael Jackson has written in his life accounts that when he is dancing and he reaches a stage and he forgets that he is body. He's dancing so vigorously that he forgets that he is a body, and a stage comes when dancer and dance become one. This is the same thing stated by Jai Krishnamurti. This is the same thing which has been stated in some of the scriptures. When the observer and the observed become one, these are the highest stages of spirituality. Which Baba says, you become detached observer. And you see things as they are. So he says, I am spinning round like this. He spins, no? Many things he does. So he's spinning like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. And he spins so much that a stage comes that he forgets that there is an audience and he forgets that everything. Now he is not doing it for some religious purpose or for world benefit. He is doing it for earning money or all. But even in that he says, a stage comes when the dancer and the dance become one. So these are worldly people or artist or painter or any artisan, any architect, any poet, any man of literature. All these poets, they had gone in bodiless stage just while writing poetries. Most of the poetries of Percy B.C. Shelley, John Keats, Lord Byron, William Wordsworth, Robert Southey, you will see that Edgar Allan Poe, Emily Dickinson, they all have been written in the bodiless stages. Because you find in that story, in those verses, some glimpse of spirituality. Even though none of these people were spiritual, but they are suffering from some divine discontent. And they come so close to nature that the divine is reflected in their poetries automatically. So, whenever one becomes soul conscious, the masterpieces would be created. Whether it is Picasso, Michelangelo, or the greatest of all the painter, the France guy, what is his name? France one, I forgot. Okay, so, yeah, anybody for that matter. So, all of these people, they were creative. Because they did create. Even this A.R. Rahman, in his interview, he has said that whenever I have to create a new music, I just go in silence. And some of the film producers and directors and story writers and screenplayers, they said that if we go to different time zone, for example, I want to create a movie, so the person says, I go to Australia, away from India. The time zone is different. And there I sit so that these people don't disturb me there. And I sit and start writing my story. And then I come back to India. Many people have written their experience like that. We go to entirely different time zone. So that we start weaving things in a different manner. Away from this place. So, wherever one is soul conscious, what happens? Vincent van Gogh. That France one is Vincent van Gogh. If you see Van Gogh's painting, they are very different. Very, very different. Because he was a very different guy. So, soul consciousness makes mind creative. One becomes light. Then what happens to intellect when one is soul conscious? Intellect, what happens? Seven functions of intellect. Again, when one is soul conscious, Jiddu, RM, what happens? What happens to judgment becomes very strong, right judgment. You can give right judgment. Then your power to imbibe becomes very strong. You read once and you immediately imbibe. That is what is needed. Today Sakar Murli Baba said there is a darkness everywhere and knowledge is given to those who are ignorant. So, we can imbibe things very fast. We can get to know, yes, this is what is missing in my life. I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. Your power to decide, discriminate increases. Your power to decide increases. And understanding becomes broad, wider understanding. Rationalizing. You can rationalize things. Whether I should do or whether I should not do. This is logical. This is illogical. This is what the common sense says is right. This is nonsense. Just get rid of it. And you can memorize. This is the thing when which nobody likes to do. Memorization. That is the children. That is the thing we say that children do with the poetries. It's not our job. We are not kids to memorize things. Because memorization needs very strong concentration. Memorization needs time. Memorization needs desire to memorize. Memorization needs a willpower. Then only interest. Then only one memorizes. Why you will memorize? There is so many things to. Who will memorize? The entire Murli? We have no time. We have so many other things to do. Seva. And Baba never said to do that. We have so many reasons. So when one is soul conscious, all of these things become powerful. What happens to sanskar? Divine sanskars are emerged when one is soul conscious. So this is all about soul consciousness or immortal throne, akal takht. And second sign of karma yogi is he is sitting on the dil takht or heart throne of the father. Or he becomes dearer to the father. Or how do we become dearer to him? That's the question. What should we do so that the Baba likes us more? He likes us otherwise, but he will like this is better than others. When will that happen? When does the father love children in the world? When they love father. And when does a father love children, a child? When they follow the directions. Then, when they do something very great and bring name and fame to their household. And when will a father love a child? They become like him, okay? When they become like him, when they become worthy. They become equal to the father. Okay. And then they become happy even if they go ahead of him then. They want their children even to surpass them in glory, in degrees, in name, fame and everything. What else? So when will father get happy with you? Here? The spiritual father, the heavenly father, the highest father, the God father. Follow. Huh? When you become cooperative in his work, a father is businessman and the child is not helping only. So father would be happy? Never. He is wasting all the money rather than helping. So when you cooperate with him, when you listen to him, when you help him, when you serve him, when you make things that will please him, when you do things that will please him, that time father is happy. And when father is happy, what happens? You get everything from him. All his properties, yours. So, make him happy. So, two things. Karma Yogi means Akal Takht and Dil Takht. Akal Takht means soul conscious. And one is soul conscious. See, one more now, today's homework. Do the experiment and see when you are soul conscious and when you are body conscious, what effect soul consciousness had all the three things, mind, intellect and sanskar, and what effect body consciousness had on mind, intellect and sanskar. What we discuss is different. See in your own life what happens. Let me do an experiment today. This is what I thought, and it has a level of amount of body consciousness, and what happened. Or see it otherwise round. If mind is very, very distracting, disturbed, is it body consciousness or soul consciousness? Other way around. So this thing is a very good thing to check. Om Shanti.